Okay, welcome everybody back to the week two of the Reconnective Journey on the Threshold. So the first thing I'd like to hear from everybody is how did it go last week? How did the homework go?
Thank you.
Hi, it's Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Homework went good, I thought.
Okay. If everybody could just say their name first and then just share a little bit about how it went for you, how this week went.
This is Sandy. It went good. You know, I probably had more issues, you know, finding the same time every day to, you know, sit quiet and you know, meditate or read or whatever, just because I had a very busy week. But the other pieces went well. And did you want us to post those? Because I don't have a problem posting them.
Yeah, that's great, because then everybody can kind of learn from each other and give each other feedback as well. That would be awesome.
Okay. It's lengthy, but okay.
That's okay. One of the things, it's going to sound like I'm joking, I'm actually not. One of the things that I do when I find that I'm just too busy to do all the things I'm doing is I step back and go, okay, why am I this busy? And that's my next order of business.
Yeah.
So who else? How'd this week go? We're talking about how the homework went, how this week went. Looking for brave volunteers so that I don't have to do the school teacher thing.
This is Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Hi. So this week actually went really well for me. I did my reconnection with you, I don't know, a while ago. It was before we started the calls, and I felt really great from the healings, like, those couple days, and then it wasn't great. Like, I was still dealing with depression, and my back was hurting. And what I found this last week is it feels like the energy is building, and I'm feeling brighter and able to hold more joy. As far as homework goes, what I'm finding is I'm walking every night after dinner, and not to walk, but to be in connection. And my husband's actually joined me in that little piece, and I noticed one day I didn't do it, or my schedule or something was debunked, and it you know, was out of sync, and then it affected me the next day. I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
So I am just in awe and amazed that I've connected into this group. Like, I'm still like, how did this happen? I'm kind of in, I'm very grateful for it, but I'm like, wow, like, this is just amazing. I mean, that's how I feel about everyone that's in this group and finding this group and being part of this healing. And I just finished the reconnection by Dr. Eric Pearl today. So that's very interesting too. Yeah.
He just wrote another book. I haven't read it yet. I ordered it.
The
Solomon. Just came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I saw it on the website. It looks interesting. That's his client in the book that spoke to him, that when he was starting to do the healings. I believe that's the same person.
Yes, it
is.
It's called The Following.
It's called Solomon, I think.
Yes.
I didn't look at it closely. I just ordered a copy. Because, one, I was interested, and two, I realized my clients are going to be asking me about this book.
And that's a small victory for me, because I haven't finished a book for a while. The last book that I read was 50 Shades of Grey, so it's nice to be back on the spiritual path.
Yeah, this one will be different.
Yeah.
Although, personally, I think they both have their place, but it's, probably not what this book is about.
I'm feeling much more connected after reading, you know, The Reconnection. So there you go.
cool. Who else? Experiences with homework? With
This is Selena. I posted on the group, and you know, I had a really great week last week. And Ginny, what you said about your experience is actually very encouraging for me. I had my reconnection Monday and Tuesday last week, and I just felt amazing up until like Saturday, actually Sunday. I just felt really, really great, and I was going through some difficult stuff, and I was still going through it with a smile on my face, and people are like, what's going on with you? And then Saturday, I did my spiritual practice, which I've been doing is meditating in the morning and spending time out in nature every day, and that's been really good for me. And then Saturday night, I just kind of fell into a pattern that I've been in with my friends over very many years, just kind of, you know, tuning out in front of the TV and drinking some wine and having some snacks. And it really just dramatically shifted my energy the last few days. And, you know, based on Janine's comments, though, I'm wondering if maybe it was, you know, that post-reconnection slump that some people have commented on, if it's a combination of things or not. So that was interesting. And I'm finally coming out of it. And one thing that happened tonight that I just wanted to comment on, too, is I was driving home from the chiropractor's office a couple hours ago, and I just burst into tears. Like, I just bawled the whole drive home. And something from my childhood just flashed in front of my eyes, and I drove home, and I immediately went and worked out and did some journaling in the sauna, and I just felt like something just kind of lifted away.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. And in terms of the homework, like, I've been doing the meditating and the nature stuff. The journaling and the gratitude hasn't been every day, but for me, it was more of an avoidance. I didn't want to look at whatever was kind of hanging over me. So I'm back on track, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very up and down week, and that was very, very strange for me.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, since we've already talked about 50 Shades of Grey, Dr. John Gray's Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, maybe not in that book or in his video, in his series, somewhere in his work. He talks about, and you know, we get to this place and we ease up our control and we start to open up. And he compares it to a lid on a garbage can where everything is packed in tight and the lid's like crammed on. But there's a spring at the bottom of the garbage can. And as soon as the lid comes up a little bit, it's like, bam, it all comes flying out. So it's a good thing, but it probably doesn't seem like a good thing at the time.
Okay. I'll think on that.
Yeah. Don't take it too seriously. It's just a thought.
I think it's probably a perfect analogy, though.
Right.
Well, this is Lori.
Lori?
Yeah, my meditation's at 4 o'clock in the morning, every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get up?
And no, well, I get up then. I've had something like a sinus infection, and it wakes me up about that time. And so that's when I meditate. It's so quiet, and there's no noise.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you need to do, which is great, and connecting, you know, with the source. And I also get outside. I do a lot of gardening and connecting to the earth that way. But it's one of the days, it was like everything was getting to me, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, I don't know what's going on, but I just want to cry. And it's the process, I think, you know, of different things happening and progressing through. And it was, I just needed to cry, and it didn't feel like I was upset. It just felt like a release. So it was really great.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Okay, who hasn't gone yet?
Hi, this is Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hi. I've been meditating every day for my daily practice, and recently I've been meditating with some crystals, and
mm-hmm.
I find that I really enjoy doing that. And I had a little trouble with the "What do you love?" Part of the homework.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know. I love my family. I love my friends. You know, stuff like that. And it was actually right up until I read Greg's post a couple minutes ago that I realized, like, I love to make music. I love to play the guitar. And I just got this whoosh of energy. I felt so good. I was like, yeah, that's what I love. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, both the what do we want and what do we love parts. These are meant to be journeys of discovery. So, you know, that unfolding does, well, what it is about music that I like, or, you know, what it is it about, you know, even about family, you know, what is it about family that we like? That can be different from person to person, and not necessarily something to be taken for granted. Not everyone likes their family.
Yeah.
So very nice. Okay. Other shares.
Hello, this is Heather.
Hi, Heather.
And hi. I figured I would go right after the last Heather because I wanted some guidance as well on a piece of the homework and the what do I want and what do I love, which I'll say in just a moment. But the past week
mm-hmm.
has been great. And I'm transitioning out of a job, and with about 500 clients, so I have to tell what I am up to, and I really am not 100% sure what I'm up to. This homework assignment was very interesting because it forced me, as I answer that question to every client, what are you going to be doing next? You know, I have to look at myself in the face that question 500 times over the next month here.
Right.
So it's great, and all feels pretty good. Let's see. So things are moving. I've felt strong in my power as it relates to a number of things as things have been coming up. And so I'm grateful for so many things. The what's good on my homework was a very easy thing to answer. The what do I want and what do I love, I wasn't so sure I was going down that self-discovery path the way maybe the intention of the homework was, which is what you were just discussing. But I get the point of that. So I'm just going to say what came up, and then maybe you can just lead me on the why for next piece real quick.
Sure.
So what do I want? And I didn't post this, but I will. And this is freedom to travel, freedom to move, and to love with support. And then I went into the whys, and that one was perfectly fine. I can go down that path. The next one, what do I love? The ocean is my answer. And why? Because it soothes me, protects me, makes me feel safe. Why? And so then I kind of got, like, a little off track. So that's the component that I could use some guidance on.
Okay,
Heather,
so right where we...
Sorry, Tim. Are you the one that went surfing on Mother's Day?
I did, and that felt really good.
Okay, I'm just trying to put faces with names, so thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So first, awesome way to spend Mother's Day.
Yeah,
and,
so good.
Um,
And so that reminded me what I love. It wasn't until then that I actually could do my homework.
Right, yeah. So those places where you mentioned where you got stuck, these are the places where we really start to uncover, you know, what's going on that we don't normally look at. So things that we might take for granted, you know, well, it makes me feel, I forgot what you said, safe. What else did you say?
It soothes me, it protects me, it makes me feel safe. I have solitude, connection with oneness, supports my sensitivity.
Okay. And then these might seem like silly questions, but then the next thing to do would be to sit and really ask yourself for each of those, why are those things important to me? What do they do for me?
Okay.
You know? And as you keep kind of going through those things, says, well, it's obvious, but let me tell you what it is, and then we start to find things that we didn't know where they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. There's a lot of things
Thank
that we
you.
Just take for granted. That we think we know that we don't. Aaron Copland's book on music, he mentions that everybody says that music is so expressive, and when you ask them what it expresses, there's silence. And so that's what you want to do here, is find that silence and then say, okay, well, what does it do here? And that's when we learn things about ourselves that we weren't necessarily aware of. And okay. Gregory's post was a wonderful example of that. Discovering that he was looking for something entirely different than what he thought.
And as he was typing, I think that emerged. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah. And that's the importance of articulating it. When you have to say it, suddenly things come out. So that's why it's important to share. Things look different when you have to share them than when they're just in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts, other experiences this week?
Hi, this is Tesla.
Hi, Tesla.
I realized that because I picked as my daily practice, I just do a meditation for however long it goes for. And I tried, like, doing it in the morning because I am a morning person. I love morning, and it's my time. I like to do things, and I figured it would work in the morning, but it just wasn't really flowing then. And then, so one day I tried it in, like, kind of mid-afternoon or mid to late afternoon, and it really started to work for me, and it started going much better, and my meditations have been getting stronger, and it's been going really well. And the gratitude list for me is very easy for me to do because I find so many things that I'm grateful for every day. It would just go on and on. So that was a good part of the homework too.
Oh, excellent. Thanks, Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going for everyone else, the gratitude?
Good.
The gratitude is the easy part.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Okay. And the hard part is?
The hard part is the roller coaster rides at work where you just, I mean, working 12 to 14 hours a day, it's just, I'm just starting to see a trend there that doesn't make me really happy because I have no time for my friends or family. I mean, I come home and go to bed, which is pretty sad because I have to get up at 5 in the morning to do all my meditations and all of that sort of stuff. And so that usually takes me about an hour and a half to do all of my different chanting and all this other stuff. So that part of it is pretty rough. And so I'm really doing a lot of thinking and getting ready to maybe explore some different opportunities that are more in alignment with who I am.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
It's amazing how used to things that aren't working for us we can get. And it's only when we kind of step back and we finally look at this and go, You know, at first we tend to go, how do I make this work? And then we step back and go, why am I trying to make this work?
Oh, I thought that today. Mm-hmm. It was today. And I thought, oh, my God, I cannot continue to do this. This is insane. Right. What am I doing to myself? I mean, it's basically kind of like killing yourself in some way, you know?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, yes, I do. All too well.
Yeah. So that's the hard part. But the gratitude is the fun and easy part. So at least there's that.
Right. Okay, who hasn't gone yet?
Me, I haven't. It's Colleen.
Hey.
And well, I wanted to say my computer crashed on Thursday, and I have to send it off to HP land, wherever that is. I'll be back to work Thursday. I'm off right now for a couple of weeks. So at that time, when I get back to work, I can have a computer to use. I did try sending an email in response to Darlene, I believe, but got a new phone too, and it, you know, first email I tried to send, hit the wrong button, so I quit.
Wow.
But anyhow, I guess I'm wanting to say and share that I've had issues with depression off and on probably for like 40 years, but the last 5 years I've really had quite a bit more difficulty, and I know too that I have sunk into the victim role and whatever. But anyhow, I just wanted to say that on Thursday, around the time the computer crashed, I guess that really shifted. I never thought about the coincidence of time, but I have been, you know, steadily feeling really much more optimistic and sort of able to kind of step back too and notice and when I've had a little today, a little negativity, I'm just like, no, don't have time for that. Mm. And so I intentionally from 2 months ago, I've been seeking a lot of different realms of healing. So I don't know, you know, do I say that, you know, that this is helping me? Well, yes, but then biofeedback is helping me and acupuncture is helping me and whatever. So I don't really know, you know, what is maybe particularly helping with the shift, but I am ecstatic. And I have, in terms of the homework, I haven't done the What Do You Love, but a girlfriend too that I visited Thursday, well, I don't know really well, but she ended up asking me those questions at the end of our visit, because it ended up being like, well, hi, how are you? We're just sort of having a visit, getting to know each other. And I just said, well, this is how my life's been. And she's done some sort of informal coaching, so we had this wonderful sharing. And then she went through the, well, what do you want, you know, or, you know, what do you love, et cetera. So,
right.
So it's all, it feels like everything's, you know, coming in sync. I mean, there's various odds and ends, of course, that I have to pull together, like, you know, that got neglected while I was feeling so lousy. But yeah, I feel much more optimistic and hopeful. And
it's funny how the universe works like that, isn't it? It's like, you know, oh, I didn't get to this part, and the universe goes, not so fast. I had that happen last year. Somebody asked me to come and visit a group and share some of my story at an AA meeting, and but they only had so much time, so I made a decision to talk about, you know, well, these parts, but I'll leave out that part because we won't have time. And then I went to my regular meeting on the way home, and where the topic was the part that I had left out.
Isn't that interesting?
So again, I kind of felt like the universe going, not so fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really feel a different level of self-acceptance, and then today too. I mean, I could have been doing productive things in my home here, But but it was kind of like, no, slow down. It doesn't matter, you know. Like, it's okay. And I feel like I'm pokey to begin with. But I guess I've probably been harsh with myself in that regard as well. I'm sure I have. And it was just okay to listen to the voice saying, relax, you know, get outside, go for a walk, read, talk to whomever you're talking to, you know. So that's the report from here in Upper Canada. Well, not Upper Canada. Way out West Canada.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you and the group.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. So
this
who's
is
left?
Carol.
Carol?
Yes. One thing I noticed in going through these exercises is that I just became more mindful of everything that I was doing and the reactions that I had. And I've noticed, as I told you, since the reconnection that I felt a lot calmer. And I'm really happy that I've toned down my reactions, shall I say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as reactive as I once might have been. I can look at things and say, oh, well, that's interesting, but not going to exercise. This whole process is just, it's wonderful to be going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You remind me, Carol, there was a time in my life when things would happen and I would immediately go into, okay, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do about this? And over a period of about 2 years, because I'm a slow learner, it eventually sunk into me after I got knocked over the head with this repeatedly to start saying, why do you have to do anything?
Right,
you know,
right.
Just, yeah. So nice. Okay, who's still left?
Yeah, I guess maybe me. This is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
The homework was a little more challenging than I was anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
Depending upon the time, day, my mood, that I would sit down and try to do it. I'd come up with all kinds of things, and then I would stop.
Mm.
I just have this major, some kind of blockage or something. I mean, things have been very strange for me lately.
Uh-huh.
I've gone through all kinds of stuff. I changed my diet before I had the reconnection.
Okay.
And, you know, I start the day out with a bunch of green smoothie and then just eating more whole foods and really cutting out the processed stuff. I know I went through a physical healing process early on with the smoothies, and then I seemed to go through another one with the reconnection. And, I don't know, it's just been really weird. And I'm not quite sure how to get myself to focus more. I've always had a problem with ADD and, you know, hyperactivity and whatever. I'm 47 years old and that hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
I've gotten into activism for food and cannabis and now just general freedom issues because I've always been huge about my freedom. Have a real issue with anybody telling me I have to do something or can't do something. And
right.
So now suddenly I'm becoming crazy active in it, which is really odd for me. I normally like to just sit in the background and let other people do everything.
Right, right.
So not quite sure where I'm at right at the moment.
interesting how some of those activity and diet things are connected. Years ago, 30 years ago, at least, I started doing yoga. And a couple weeks later, I gave up red meat, not for any kind of philosophical or health reasons, but because I just found that when I was doing yoga, I didn't feel good when I was eating red meat. So I just stopped.
Well, see, I still have to have meat. My body, I lost like 20 pounds in a matter of 2 weeks.
Wow.
And, oh, yeah. I have a really, really high metabolism that apparently kicked in again when I started doing the smoothies. And so I find that I kind of have to eat meat or I'm not taking in enough calories. And it's kind of crazy.
It wasn't dietary advice, just sharing that they're connected.
Well, I stick to the grass-fed beef now and cage-free chicken. That's pretty much all I eat.
This is Carol. May I make
a
suggestion?
Sure.
Yes.
That you check out on the internet flaxseed oil for ADD. It's very high in omega-3 fatty acids.
Yeah, I do eat a lot of salmon, and I don't do olive oil and that sort of thing anymore to limit the omega-6s. And it's a lot of experimentation to try and figure out what's working best.
Well, there have been studies done with flaxseed oil that shows that it can help. So, just a suggestion.
Okay. I will have to give that a try. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Okay. Who's left?
Hi, this is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
And hi. And I guess I'll share my success first, which is the gratitude piece. In general, I feel like I'm a person who takes time to, appreciate what's around me and feel grateful for my life and my blessings, which I have many. But I found that being very conscious, the first couple of days I wrote it down and then managed to lose that in the shuffle, which I will get back to because there is something very different about writing things down. But I definitely found that there were situations with my family, with my daughter and with my partner, where they were either, something that would normally have touched off stress for me or tension or made me, maybe snappy or made me not, sort of reactionary. I guess I'm going to use that term, which is taking that moment to just feel real gratitude for them and shifted that for me. And so that felt really, really good. And definitely the awareness becoming more aware. I had my reconnection this weekend and it felt really wonderful. On Sunday, I just felt fabulous. That was my second session and it just felt fabulous. Today I wasn't feeling that great. But I guess the other part that I guess I'm going to publicly admit just because you keep asking people who's left, even though I wasn't going to talk, is that I really, I don't want to say it publicly to be, hold myself accountable or something, but I really failed miserably at the what do I want and what do I love piece of the homework. And I also I really failed miserably at getting deeply into my meditation, which is, has been a practice for me. It's not a new thing that I'm trying this week. And I failed miserably at being out in nature, though that's my goal tomorrow morning. It was like as soon as I signed up last Tuesday, which was a little impetuous and was felt really, though, right, like the next step for me, I fell really back into this old pattern of self-sabotaging. I almost hate to use that term because it sounds like psychoanalytic babble, but basically doing the stuff that I know keeps me from being aware. And I have a whole bunch of reasons that I can spout off that, you know, that are true, I guess, but they're also not true. Like, I don't feel like I have my space here in the house. Like, I literally was supposed to have a date with my partner tonight and was going to listen to this call later. And then, like, I'm starting to get to the point that when I don't follow my heart and don't follow what I'm really supposed to be doing, I start to get very anxious and physically agitated and, like, not, I don't feel right. And I've gotten to that point because of all the work to get to the point of listening to my heart. And yet, like, over the week, it was sort of like, okay, let me just have wine instead. Okay, let me just, like, tune out. Let me just do, you know, like, you know, so the, it's sort of like the angel and the devil on my shoulder, and I feel like I've battled this for a long, long time, and I'm really tired of it. Like, and at the same time, I'm obviously continuing to do it. So I was going to blow off my whole thing tonight because that would be, like, the final, that would be the culmination, right? And then I thought, well, I'll listen to it Thursday. Then I realized this afternoon, like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to listen to it Thursday. I don't want to go out tonight and listen to music and have a couple of drinks. Like, this is really important to me. And I basically asked my partner to go out tonight so that I could have the space in the house. And so I'm really frustrated with myself right now. I didn't even realize how frustrated I was at myself, but I am. And because I guess I'm just still really freaking scared of what the changes are that are going to come. Yeah. And every time I scratch the surface and I scratch a little deeper and I scratch a little deeper because I've been doing this for 20 years, more than 20 years now. I've been, like, finding, you know, like, being wanting to get deep and be real and live my heart and then immediately finding how many things I can to, you know, cover it up and check out and... You know, and it's just like, it's such a stupid pattern, and I really want to get over it, and obviously I don't really want to get over it, or I wouldn't still be doing it.
Right, yeah.
I hear you.
So I'm just, you know, I'm really glad. I feel like I've come really far, and I'm proud of myself, and I'm definitely not, you know, into beating myself up. I've been trying to really treat myself like I would treat any of my friends or any people that I, or really anybody. I mean, I've tried to really, you know, I'm trying not to just beat up on myself, but I also, it's sort of like, it's like the proverbial, like, kick in the ass. So I'm going to put that out there to the group and admit to it and then, you know, sort of own it and then do my homework that I was supposed to do last week. And I guess I'll let you all know how it goes.
There you go. Yeah.
And you're not alone. I was just going to say the same thing. You are not alone. Mm-hmm. I think most of us are surrounded with at least a few people who are not on the same kind of journey that we are and that tend to drag us down emotionally and physically. And we just have to say, okay, I'm just going to step back from this. I accept them for who they are, but I'm going to continue to move forward. And I'm talking about spouses.
I'll get to the point that I won't be able to, you know, that I'll really have to make a change that might have other fallout. I mean, I guess that's really been a fear, and I think I can have it all. I mean, I've been very, very committed to having my family and having my family stay together, even though sometimes I feel like my partner and I are not on the same path. And he's very supportive of me, and yet, you know, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I do still believe there's a way to have it all. Timmy mentioned something earlier about, you know, how we go, like, this process of, like, how could I make this work? And then the next step is that you sort of lose that and you just do what you need to do. But it's hard because there's other people involved. We don't live in a vacuum.
Yeah.
So I've been really, you know, it's been, I used to say I'm struggling with it. Now it's become really clear to me. It's not a struggle. It's like, okay, I want to do this. Okay, I'm very consciously doing stuff to not do this because I'm scared of this. Okay.
Well, I think you did the right thing in suggesting that he go out for the evening so that you could have your time. My husband's at a meeting, so that worked out very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, there. I have an office that I've been trying to make more my space, but, like, I want to have space at home. I don't really want to be away from, like, my daughter or my cats, or I want to be able to, you know, sit here in my underwear if I want. So it's sort of like, I feel like, okay, no more excuses. You can make the space. You can make things work. I have so many options available to me. I'm so blessed that that's so much choice and options. And so I really, I guess I'm coming closer to figuring out why I'm even here. I wasn't really clear last week. It just felt like a really appropriate next step. And I've definitely gotten a lot of stuff out of it already, in terms of just even how my one of the big things was having the reconnection and even the group healing last week, and sort of, I know how energy works and I believe in energy, and yet there's like another part of my brain that is like, you know, sort of like the, oh, that's not real kind of thing. And so I guess that was one big thing in the last week that also I felt really good about, was sort of this reaffirmation that, yes, these feelings that I have that aren't tangible, that are just as real as the concrete, tangible world around me. So that's it.
A question, what if it didn't have to be hard? What if you could have ease and grace with this? What if we all could have ease and grace in this process?
Yes, and I think we can. I think that, like, for me, I know I make it harder sometimes. I had an experience this weekend where I really realized that something that I was thinking was going to be an either or, I realized, well, okay, maybe I could have it all. And when I expressed it to this person who's my kind of my employer, but is also a friend, just some work I'm taking on, when I expressed my concerns and sort of feeling like it had to be either or, he immediately came back to me and was like, well, why can't you have both or all? And it was so easy. And it was like, oh, well, okay, maybe it is that easy. And I think that we can apply those things to every aspect of our life. If it's the right path for us, it can be easy and grace-filled.
Yeah,
and
you can give yourself
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you can give yourself a break, too. It's, I'm totally behind the idea. Let's start with the idea that you can have it all, but also another friend, I have a lot of friends with good names, who likes to say when appropriate, who says you have to do everything graceful? And, you know, sometimes just, you know, crash in and do what you need to do.
That's
but you are going to love, you're going to love today, this week's stuff and this week's homework, because it addresses a lot of what you're talking about.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Oh, good.
All right, so... let's jump into things. Does anybody else want to say anything quickly before we jump ahead? Okay, then. Then I'm going to, for a little bit, mute everybody here. And get everything set up over here. Great. Okay. So just a quick reminder then where we started, that a big part of where I'm coming from is it's like this movement to me to share that we're meant to be happy and that we're meant to be healthy. And the only reason that we aren't is primarily that we tend not to allow it. We get in our own ways. And we talked about understanding, awareness, transformation, and intention. I want to look at this backwards just for a moment. When people are talking about attracting things into their lives, they tend to jump right to attention. Okay, set a good intention and what's your intention and so forth. And the issue with that is that intention doesn't help until we have the ability to transform. Okay, if you can't transform the negatives to positives, then we really the intention doesn't help. And we can't transform the negatives and the positives if we don't have awareness of who we really are and awareness of what's really possible for us, of all the possibilities. And so until then, we're just working blindly. The question becomes, transform what into what? Okay. So that awareness of who we really are and of all the possibilities that we are. And we can't have that awareness until we understand that our typical habitual daily perception is at odds with reality, and that our tendency is to defend and justify that mistaken reality because it's our ego's way of protecting us. So the first thing we have to do before we can move into this is to really start to understand who we are, hence the what do we want, what do we love, and so forth. And a good way of knowing if we're there yet is this understanding that intention and love are the same thing. That what we love gets to the heart of who we really are. And it's who we really are that's what's going to attract things. That's going to determine what happens to us. And we talked last week about the what we need to begin to leave our comfort zone so that we can stand on the threshold and before actually crossing it this week. And the things that we need into place. And as we can all hear from all the sharing that people have done in the Facebook wall and on this call, is that just getting ready for the journey has stirred up all kinds of stuff. And so it's very important that we continue these things. So I'm going to kind of dole out the homework in pieces as we cover it this week. And, of course, I'll recap it later in an email and in the transcript. So the first part of the homework then is to keep doing what we've been doing. Keep up with your daily practice. Keep working on or chipping away at the what do you want and the what do you love parts. Keep adding more whys. Keep discovering more things. And I'd like to suggest that you really know that you're there with those two pieces, the what do you want, what do you love, and why, is when you are looking at those every day and you feel excited and a little nervous about what you've written at the same time, then I think it's probably safe to say that you're there, or at least close, because it should be exciting. Yeah, this is it. This is exactly what I want. And when you really get to the truth of really the possibilities, you know, it's hard to get excited about something that isn't going to happen anyway, right? When you're going, oh my God, this could really happen, then that's a whole different ball of wax there. And so keep doing those things and keep doing the gratitude list. I'll explain why, especially in a second. So we're going to cross the threshold now into the physical level. All these, again, of all those seven levels of vibration, we are as individuals, five of those, and the physical being the slowest of those. So the reason we want to start with the physical level is that we can see what's going on. It's easier to look at. It's not so mysterious. But it's not, I want to stress again, it's no way lowest. The world, the physical world, is a mirror. You know, we've talked about awareness, and one of the things to build awareness is simply look around and look what we're looking at and at what the hard, you know, real evidence is. But the world is a smoky mirror, and the reason it's a smoky mirror is because we're the ones looking at it. So it's not that the world is so smoky, but rather we are smoky. And Don Miguel de Ruiz, not in the Four Agreements, but in a later book, talks about, imagine that you go to a movie, and you walk into the movie, and you see sitting in the row ahead of you, your mom, and you can't really, she doesn't see you, she doesn't seem to know you're there, but you're watching the movie, and you realize it's a movie about your life. And as you're watching this, you go, some things, you go, yeah, okay. Yep, yeah, I remember that. And other things you're going, wait, that's not what happened. That's not how it happened. That's, wait a minute. That's, no, I don't remember that part. And you watch for a while, and then you go into the next theater. And it seems to be the same movie playing, but it's your dad in the theater, and he doesn't seem to notice you either. And the same events are playing, but this movie is different. There's a things didn't happen in the same way. They didn't mean the same things. There are different things that happened. And you go into the next theater, and it's your brother, and your next theater, it's your sister, or your friend, or your teacher, and your neighbor. And every single movie, it's the same events, but all the movies are different. And this is what the smoky mirror is like. You know, it may theoretically be the same movie, but we're not all looking at the same movie because we're the ones looking at it. We are the smoke. So this becomes a problem. Over the entrance to the Oracle at Delphi in ancient Greece, it says, first, know thyself. And this has always struck me as an amazing, amazing thing to say over an oracle, that a truly wise person would read that, turn around, and go home. That self-knowledge is the entire key. Okay, and this is really what we're talking about here, and discovering our hidden worlds. And our hidden worlds in two different ways. The hidden worlds of the higher possibilities that we are, and the hidden worlds of the stuff that we don't want to look at or in denial about, that we don't want to see, and coming to really know those worlds. Until we do, it's hard to deal with anything because we're not looking at reality. We're trying to deal with something other than what is. One of the typical things that comes up when people talk about the law of attraction is something like, I don't understand why the law of attraction isn't working for me. So let's start right there. Why isn't the law of attraction working for me? And the problem is that the law of attraction is working beautifully for you and for me and for everyone else. If we are really truly honest with ourselves and look around carefully, we realize that we are surrounded by things that we've attracted to ourselves. We more or less live what we want to do, where we want to, where we're surrounded by things in our homes we want to be surrounded by. We are living the consequences of choices that we made, all kinds of things. And the wonderful thing about a gratitude list is a gratitude list makes us stop and look at that. I used to think of gratitude as something you did at the end. Everything was done and then you were grateful. And maybe one day when I got all this done, I could be grateful. And I have come to understand that gratitude is the beginning of the process. That appreciating what I have means I stop and I notice what I have and I recognize what I've accomplished. And that's empowering. These things are here because I put them there. Okay? I have attracted these things into my life. And there are many, many things that are just wonderful that I don't really think about because I tend to focus on the other, the things that aren't going so well. So the gratitude list is more than just feeling good. It's more than just appreciation. A gratitude list is an exercise in reality. It's an inventory. Let's get real about what I've already done, about what's already here, about who I really am as an attractor. And additionally, if we can't do this, not only will we not be looking at reality, but if we're not grateful for the things we have now, why would we be grateful for something that comes later? Okay, we would be continually be in this state of dissatisfaction. The other thing I'd like to think of in terms of gratitude is abundance. When people talk about attraction, they talk about I hear this a lot. You have to be very specific. Look for a very specific number. Look for a very specific time period. Look for a very specific result. Now, to some degree, I agree with this, but to the degree I agree with it in terms of once we have a really clear vision, we need a good plan. And plans need specifics. But this isn't abundance. Abundance isn't X number of dollars or some specific thing like this. Abundance is this never-ending flow. When I go outside and look at the stars, I'm not looking to see 100 or 1,000 or 8,029. I'm looking to see endless stars When I go into the forest, I'm not looking for a certain number of trees. I'm looking for endless trees with endless leaves and endless birds. And I expect, this goes on forever. When we look at young children, one of the reasons we say, oh, children, they're just so innocent and free. That's because children understand that they live in total abundance. You just ask mom or dad, right? And everything just happens. It's how they understand the world to be. That's really what we want from abundance. It's not that we want a certain bank account, but very, very few people want money. What we really want are all the things that money will do for us, whatever they may be. So for some people, that's security. For some people, that's freedom. But what we want to know is that we can do the things that we want to do. We want to do the things that we want. We want to be able to have the things that we love. And that really is abundance. And to know that that stream is endless. So that's the first part. To look at this really as getting out of this dream, this smoky mirror, to understand that we do not see the world the way it actually is. We do not see ourselves the way they truly are. And that we need to make that jump. And starting with gratitude, what do I already have? Next, when we talk about will and intention, okay, will is about what do we want, right? Now, we can't exercise our will if we don't really have the answer to the question. And so that's why this is important. And we don't need to make it frustrating. It's let's get clear about this. Because we can't make something that we want happen when we don't know what it is. That doesn't mean that we must know later today. It just means, okay, I'm working on this. And to be aware that what we want is probably different than what we think, which is why we're having trouble with it. Intention, as you mentioned, is synonymous with love. Okay? It's what we actually love is what will happen when we really seek at the level of intention. We were just talking earlier about self-sabotage. That's what happens in self-sabotage, is that your heart and your mind are in two different places, and you're going in different directions. Okay? And one excellent cure for that is to be clear about those things, and so that who we really are, what we truly are inside, is harmonious with what it is we're trying to accomplish. And then finally, to the idea of, manifesting spiritual energy into physical vibration, I really want to strongly encourage people again to think of this interplay of levels as coherence, not escaping a level and not crystallizing, but to understand that all these levels are at work continually and that one flows to the other continually. Okay? One of the things, surprising things happen in the reconnection is even though we're working at high frequencies, those high frequencies have effect all the way through. But the same thing is true in the other direction, as above, so below. We are still, there's a one coherent unit of energy. So when we're looking at the level of the physical world, of the physical health, when we're noticing things around us, it's not as opposed to looking at spiritual things, it's as spiritual as it gets. And we can look at it right there. It's not difficult to read. It's right in front of us. And that we can take this physical world seriously, and we can look at what's happening in our physical world that we can very readily see, and we can do what most people don't, which is to really look at it and become aware and to use that as a mirror, even a smoky mirror, of what's going on with us and what we can do to make it better. So, these are the things that keep us stuck. One of the first things that keeps us stuck is a misreading of what's going on. There are a man named Fred Hirschberg came up with this wonderful model of three ineffective roles in the world, and they are the prosecutor, the victim, and the rescuer. And we can see this at home, in relationships, at work, in classrooms, everywhere there's people, these roles are played out. And the prosecutor, this would be the demanding boss, the strict teacher, you know, the harsh parent, the anybody domineering who says, I need to take control and make things work, you know, or things aren't going to go well. And the problem with that is that it doesn't work. It might seem to work briefly while people are right there, but people really, instead of learning to do what you're telling them, really only learn to avoid you and to circumvent you. And those people tend to cast themselves in the role of victim. Now, the role of victim truly rocks, because when you're a victim, you have no responsibilities. Everything that happens to you is somebody else's fault. You know, it's the, if the prosecutor didn't do this, everything would be grand. And there is absolutely nothing for you to do. Perfect. Except that all the control is in somebody else's hands. And much of society has learned to become professional victims. You know, it's, we get really skillful at this. And the more that we blame other people, the more that we have no responsibility. And as soon as we have no ability to respond, then there is nothing that we need to do to change the situation. But there's also no way to make it better. The third ineffective role is the rescuer. And the rescuer is, they'll charge right in to make things right, you know. This is one of the problems with our educational systems currently is, you know, that's okay. If you can't do this, just don't worry about it. You know, if you're not good enough, don't worry. I'll just do it for you. And that's not education. That's not rescuing. That's not nice. That's patronizing. But whatever the situation, you know, hey, that's okay. I'll handle this for you. You know, don't worry. Whatever the situation, work outside. At first, it seems great. You know, I got this person really cares for me. They took all this off my shoulders. But what happens if the things don't turn out well? Now the victim turns into the prosecutor and is angry at the rescuer for not rescuing good enough. How come my degree isn't getting me what I want? How come this project didn't turn out? How come this didn't turn out the way you said it would? You know, you didn't do a good enough job rescuing. And now the victim is in the role of the prosecutor. And as long as these three roles are playing, nothing gets accomplished. It is entirely about blaming other people. And it also has nothing to do with the reality. So in the first week we looked at Robert Frost's poem, we talked about how it is, in many ways, is a poem about justification. We'd like to defend our choices, we'd like to pretend they're something other than they are, and we'd like to stick by that. And we do that here. So my favorite question to bring us out of that is a very simple question. How's that working out for you? If we're looking for something that's practical, that gets results, it's working out or it's not. And by definition, these rules are not working out. So a couple pieces of reality. One is you cannot control other people. To the extent that we want to try, you're wasting your time. You simply cannot control other people. Never could, never will. And I mean in any context, okay? No teacher is truly in control of children. No parent is truly in control of kids. It just doesn't happen. And second, we need to acknowledge when things aren't working. Okay? Again, we want to get away from endlessly defending what is, in fact, not working. So what do we do about this? Well, one thing we do is acknowledge that we need help. I think Albert Einstein put it best when he said, we cannot solve the significant problems that we face with the same level of thinking we used when we created the problem. And when we try to insist and defend and do everything ourselves and continue doing what isn't working, we are in fact trying to solve a problem with the same thinking that created it. It's our own thinking that got us into this mess. And our own thinking is not going to get us out of it. And it has nothing to do with accomplishment. So, for example, Deng Bing Dao has a wonderful example in his 365 Dao book about eagles flying over the ocean. And he points out that eaglets, young eagles, do not get into trouble flying over the ocean. It's adult eagles that get into trouble flying over the ocean. Why? Young eagles aren't strong enough to fly out very far. They can't get far enough to get into trouble. It's the older ones, the accomplished ones, the strong ones, that are in danger of going too far and getting into trouble. Okay? And the more we become accomplished, the more we progress, the more we're on new ground, and the more we're going to need a guide who's been there, because we've never have. And again, we have to face, to look at reality. One of the things we'll hear frequently is, you know, I just don't feel comfortable asking for help. I have a hard time asking for help. And if we look at that honestly, we realize on the face of it, that's ridiculous. It's not hard to ask for help. You pick up the phone, you dial a number. Hey, can you help me? Asking over, okay? That's a different problem than what we're telling ourselves. The problem is we don't want to ask for help, okay? So we need to recognize that we need this. Last week we talked about how typically 0% or 90% of something will get done, because either we need help when we never get to it, or we need help when we do as much as we can. One of the places we need to look for help is that spiritual center. This is why that daily practice is so important, and setting the groundwork for that. Okay, this will become the kernel of truth that's good for us, and it will grow, not in a week, but it will grow over time if we do this every day. And it's a place to turn for help, and it's a place to turn for help that's solid and true, unlike the smoky mirror. So the first thing we need to do to build our vibration in the physical plane is to truly look at it, okay? To truly look at it for real. And we're going to take kind of a personal inventory, a personal examination. And the process of this is, think of it this way. I'm sure we could all very quickly put together a list of friends and family, associates, who we can see that they create most of their own problems, if not all, right? They always have these problems, and they create them themselves. And as we do this, lost my train of thought there. We can see that they create their own problems themselves. Fortunately, you and I never do that, right? We're completely immune. of course we do it ourselves. We can see it in other people. We have trouble seeing it in ourselves. So this is a very important thing to recognize. So one of the homework pieces that we're going to do is an exercise to do exactly this. And I think rather than going into the third thing I want to talk about today, I'll explain this part of the homework first, and then go on to the third part, and then do all questions at the end. So other than continuing, here's the next part of the homework for this week. And this will need to be written down. You want to get yourself a nice big pad of paper, and you're going to end up drawing 6 columns on however many pages you use. And on the first column, you're going to just go right down the page and just list all the outside problems. By outside problems, I mean people, situations, okay? Where do we have resentments? Where are people in our way? Where are problems that have other people's names on them or other situations' names on them? Maybe that's the economy. Maybe that's someone at work, okay? Maybe it's, you know, something that happened 3 years ago that's not even a big deal, but it's still bugging me. And taking a look at that. And simply write them down. Be honest. Don't feel, well, geez, I really shouldn't, or I feel guilty. If it's bugging you, write it down. Okay? This is be useful to the extent that you can be honest with yourself. And take some time. Write them all down. Get a list. I thought it was a fairly easygoing guy until I did this, and mine went on for pages. So hopefully yours isn't that long. So that's the first column. Okay, who or what do you have issues with, are blaming, have a resentment towards? In the second column, just briefly write what's the problem. Okay, what exactly is the issue here? What's going on objectively? And then in the third column, in a topic area, what does this affect? So, for example, the first time I did this, my top of my list was a work supervisor, and the issue was this person was on my back and keeping me from promotions, and that was the issue. And then what does that affect? It affects my income, or self-esteem, or ability to work, or in this third column, whatever this affects in you, okay? Fear, whatever it brings up for you. So that's the first three columns. In the fourth column, ask yourself, how am I to blame in any way for this situation? Now, let me just explain. It may very well be that this other person is 99% at fault. But what tiny part did you play here? Okay? What did you do that made it worse? Okay? Or different than it needed to be? Looking at that. So what's the part you played? What did you contribute to this situation negatively? And the very next column is, what's good about this? Okay? What did you contribute good? Even if you feel, I made a total mess of this, I am so at fault, oh man, I just feel horrible. Well, that's not entirely the case. There's something in there that's good. Get that down. Okay? Write it down. Well, at least I took a stand, or at least I addressed it, or, I tried to do this. It didn't work out well, but I tried. This is what I was trying to do. Okay? What's the good in that from your end? And then the last column. This is going to be a little bit tricky at first, but just sit with it for a minute. People don't do negative things for no reason. Okay? There's a reason. So, even somebody robs the bank, right? It seemed like a good idea at the time. They didn't do it because they thought it was the wrong thing to do. Now, that's a little bit of sick thinking, and that's what we want to do here, okay? If people aren't doing the things that we feel they should, then, we think they're not right, okay? They're sick. Now, if somebody was acting strangely and it's because this person was ill, you wouldn't condemn them, okay? You'd be more patient with them, right? We don't treat sick people that way. We treat sick people kindly with understanding. And the reality is that hurt people hurt people. When people are hurting, they hurt people. And so here we step back and say, how are they sick? What is going on with this person? Okay, could be big, it could be small. But how can we understand them as sick people? What are the things that they are dealing with? Now, you notice that I haven't, in any of these six columns, I haven't addressed anything. I haven't said to do anything. There isn't anything you need to do different or feel different. Just get it down. Before we can do anything, we have to understand the world the way it is. And you'll find that this is already a very powerful, powerful exercise. With these six columns, okay? Who or what are you blaming or resentful at? Second column, what exactly is going on with this? Third column, what is this affecting you? Your income, your health, your whatever it affects for you. The fourth column, in what way, even if it's small, are you to blame? And the fourth column, in what way, even if it's small, are you doing something good here? And then the sixth column, in what way can we see them as sick people? Just kind of do the best they can there, okay? If you do this thoroughly, you will see the world in very, very different ways. One thing I recommend, just as you said earlier, you know, when you say this, it sounds different. I would recommend, once you do this, sit down with somebody you can trust with this and share it with them, the whole thing. It will sound different when you share it than it did when you wrote it, okay? And this will go a long way towards helping us to see the world the way it is, so we can move forward from here into new steps. That's as far as we're going to go with that part of this, okay? I'm going to come back to questions in a moment. Actually, let me pause here for quick questions before I do this last part. So, any questions there? Everybody's in stunned silence.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Tim, do you want us to do as many situations as we can think of?
As many as you can think of.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Turn off the dictation for a minute here. I'm looking for something to share with you.
I'm personally thinking this is Janine. Oh, shit, this seems like a lot of work.
Okay.
I'm up for it.
Well, you know what? It is. So, you know, take that under advisement.
Okay.
Okay, the last thing I want to say about the physical is, understand, we talk about, you know, the faster vibrations affecting lower vibrations, but this is a continuum. So the same thing happens in the other direction. Okay, so there's a wonderful passage in Hermann Hesse's The Glass Bead Game, where one of the main characters is so stressed over the difficulties of constructing a complicated game for the annual festival that he goes to see his old mentor, the music master. And he goes expecting help with the complex mathematics and cultural intertwinings in a game at this highest level. But when he arrives, the master asks nothing about the game at all. Instead, he asks his former pupil about his diet. He asks how much sleep he's getting. He asks about his meditation practice. In short, all things about personal care and sustainable health, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. Despite what our egos tell us when we're brain deep and wherever imagined mess we're sorting through at the time, the way out is simple. Return to fundamentals. You know, as a musician, I know that talented amateurs practice complicated, flashy musical excerpts much of the time. Professionals spend that same time playing long, slow, even scales and arpeggios, fundamentals. I remember hearing about an NBA coach who insisted his players practice layups. The players protested they could do that shot in their sleep. And he told them, good, I want to see 400 of them. Go. You know, fundamentals. How do we reach deep, peaceful, spiritual levels of heightened awareness and spirituality? We breathe. We just breathe. So a great deal of work can happen right at the physical plane. And this is something that we normally overlook. We're all interconnected. We're one with everything. We're mind, body, spirit. We can easily get swept up in the wonder of esoteric musings and ignore important overall component of all the spirituality and consciousness, our own bodies and physical health. So at the risk of sounding condescending, I'd only offer but insist that we kind of just consider the following. How do we start our day? Don't just get jolted back into the world by an alarm clock. Okay? Let your day start with purpose and meaning. Have a more or less standard time to rise. Have a routine that includes a spiritual meaning beginning to the day. Have breakfast, even if it's just an orange or a bagel and coffee. But take time to sit for a minute and enjoy the meal, even if it's like 10 minutes. No matter what happened yesterday, no matter what today is bringing, focus on that day. The impact on all levels of health will be profound, including attitude and productivity, just how we start our day. Eat lunch. This is one of the problems with American culture. We typically cram down a quick bite in 30 minutes, fearing the boss breathing down our necks as we watch the clock, or we shove something down our throats while running errands. This is not an approach. This is inherently unhealthy in multiple ways. The foods we choose, the mental and emotional state in which we ingest these, the complete lack of spiritual awareness in which we do this, it's important. And by the way, the reason I'm starting with these things is I'm terrible at all of these things, and I continually remind myself. Set a time for dinner. Eat dinner at more or less the same time each day. Include time to prepare the meal without being unduly rushed. Yes, you know, maybe the kids have to be somewhere, maybe you've got a meeting or errands, but find a way to do it no matter what. And here's why, among other things. It's an interrupter. My head might be spinning faster and faster and faster. You know, what am I going to do about this? Dinner preparation ends that process. You know, I don't know what you're going to do, but right now you're going to make dinner. And I have to go and make dinner. And everything changes instead of spiraling out of control, instead of making things worse. I start to relax and settle in. Here's another one I had trouble with. Go to bed. At a reasonable or more or less constant time, go to bed. Your days will have a regular rhythm that is itself healing and comfortable. You can't start your day smoothly if you're recovering from the late night before. If you got a lot to do, it's all the more important. And before you go to sleep, take time to round out the day with something spiritually meaningful. Meditation, reading, prayer, a walk in nature, whatever you're happy to do without fail. So again, whatever happened during the day, each day ends by bringing you into a balanced focus. I had tremendous trouble with this until one day I was explaining why I was too busy and had all these things going on, and my friend pointed at my dog sleeping at my feet and said, "Your dog knows when it's time to go to bed." And it's true. I can go to bed whenever I want, but my dog goes to bed the same time. I can learn from my dog. Exercise. Whether it's every day or at least 3-4 times a week, engage in regular, enjoyable, vigorous exercise. At least 30 minutes, an hour is better. The body is made to move. The lymphatic system, which is responsible for removing waste products from your cells, is twice the size of the circulatory system, but it has no pump at all. It relies on the action of the muscles and breathing to work. Sitting quietly continually isn't good for us. Movement helps our mood as well. Move a muscle, change a thought. If you're having a bad day, go for a walk, go for a bike ride, or a swim, or a run, or a workout. You'll feel better. Exercise has numerous health benefits. Right, the heart's a muscle and needs exercise too to remain healthy. It keeps your metabolism running smoothly. A good hour of exercise starts endorphins going. Regular exercise will regulate blood pressure, helps prevent serious disease, especially diabetes. It increases your energy, stamina, well-being. Okay? You aren't too busy to exercise. You're too busy not to exercise. I learned this gradually the hard way. I'm pretty good at this today. You'll feel better. You'll get more done. Okay? Like we were talking earlier, what you eat. Now, I'm not going to get into telling people what to eat. Different people have different diets for different reasons, and that's fine. As long as it's nutritious, delicious, and not excessive. In particular, diet rich in fruits and vegetables, barring special circumstances. When I was a child, I would say, "Mom, I'm hungry. Can I have a cookie?" And she'd tell me to eat an apple. And I would complain, "I'm not hungry for an apple." And she would say, "Well, then you're not really hungry." And she was right. Watch these signs. If food isn't the issue, what is? Separate that out. You know, if I'm hungry but not for an apple, I'm not hungry. There's a different problem going on, okay? It's a craving. Same thing goes for sudden loss of appetite. You know, if you're just not hungry, well, why not? Recognize this early sign. I have some more written stuff I'll share with you in the transcript, but I'll just mention a couple things quickly. You can apply where they go. Alcohol. A little alcohol is fine, but if you're relying on alcohol every day, and I'm not even talking about drinking to excess, you're covering up things that need healing and using alcohol as an excuse. And it's time to look at the real problems. And trust me, I know this problem inside out. And avoid justifications here. Well, your body needs some alcohol. Yes, it does. It needs very little alcohol, and you can easily get that from natural sugars and starches. Okay? We all have things to face. Don't cover them up. Cigarettes is a very tough addiction, but it's an extraordinarily harmful one. And at the risk of sounding naive, stop rationalizing and quit, you know. Enough about that. Drugs, again, if this applies to anyone, if you're still telling yourself that marijuana is an herb, so therefore it's good for you, it's time to grow up. Belladonna is an herb. Don't eat it. It's deadly poisonous. You can't balance your body healthily while you're distorting it. It doesn't matter what the drug. That's what drugs do, right? I mean, for medicinal purposes. The point is to go in and temporarily change the body chemistry while it's in imbalance, not to alter a healthy body. Caffeine and sugar. I live on coffee, so I'm not preaching here. According to the Mayo Clinic, 2 to 4 cups of brewed coffee a day will do a healthy adult no harm. Notice no good either, but no harm. But at the same time, caffeine works by squeezing your arteries like a garden hose. And if, among other things, you cut down on caffeine, you'll sleep better. Sugar is a drug. Craving, binging, withdrawal, sensitization, these are all part of the sugar experience. If you'd like to feel better, cut back on your refined sugar. Honey, assuming it's from local honey, where you need sweeteners, or fruit to sweeten, much better choices. So just some things to think about there. And I mean this not by, Tim, we know this, but I mean this by, it's at 4 o'clock, if I'm feeling kind of anxious and a little bit irritated, and if I stop and look, at, I'll realize I skipped lunch, I stayed up late, I ignored some really simple things, you know. Grandma was right, you know, have a snack and get enough sleep. Beyond merely physical health, here are some other physical things to look at that I think are important in terms of health. One is friends. Life is not about working and struggling. Anything else is a distortion. So here's just some questions to ask, not lecturing, just sharing the information. Do you have regular time for your friends? And if not, make it. Okay? Nobody sits up on their deathbed and wishes for more time at the office. Spend time with special people and lots of it. This is what life is about. We're social creatures, and we're living naturally when we're laughing and loving and caring and listening and, well, living. Okay? This isn't part of our current life design. It's time for a redesign. Downtime. We all have busy days, but if every day is busy, 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 we're out of balance. And frankly, many of us have hidden behind work. I know I have for years, without recognizing that's what we're doing. And if we're hiding, just what are we dodging? Okay. Typically what happens, this was my pattern, and it's not a unique pattern at all. I got all these things, I don't know what to do, so I do only the things I do well, and therefore avoid all the things that are the actual problems. I was good at work, so I did more of it. We all need regular rejuvenation. A few weeks vacation each year isn't going to do it. Neither is a day off once in a while. Okay. It's an important element of living is important. A healthy environment. What's around you right now at work or home? Okay. Are these surroundings supportive? Are they comfortable? Do they energize you? Do others find your space attractive and relaxing? What lifestyle enriches your spirit? What would it take to incorporate this into your life? Not in the someday future, but right now. Okay, don't live for the future. Live now. I know, Carol, would I'd be a remiss if I didn't put out that the feng shui may be a good idea. Carol is an expert in this, if you have questions about that. These questions have no right answers, but they do have important answers. I know people who are driven and thrive in the busy vibe of a booming city environment. I can do that, but day after day it makes me jittery, and I need to get away. And these same people would find my environment dull, insanely boring, without inspiration. Other people would find that, like me, my country setting is beautiful, relaxing, inspiring, invokes my best qualities, sparks insights, engages my full energy, leaves me charged and alive at the end of the day. Okay. How does your environment impact the people you work with? Does it resonate with them at well? So take a look at all these things. Okay. Getting organized. All that sounds great, but you know, that's a lot of details. Sure. So here's what you do. Make a dream list of all the things that you would like to fit into your life. Forget about being practical. Just get it down. Dream list. Ask your inner rebel for things you've long shoved aside. You'd be surprised what you've forgotten is important to you. And when you're done, look for things that can be combined. What could part of your busy day be done while enjoying the sunset from your back porch? Okay, could you or some friends have coffee and breakfast in the morning before work? Could that conference call happen while you're on a stroll along a stream? Okay, you know, I've been known to take work outside and enjoy the sunset. Just be careful you don't pack more work into your day. I'm not suggesting you increase multitasking. I'm just saying start to take a look at all the things that belong in your life and just ask questions about how might I do this better? Okay? Progress, not perfection. You're not going to solve all this. Don't even try. You drive yourself nuts. Just ask yourself, okay, of all this stuff, how can I move this forward a little bit? Okay? Small steps matter. Small steps matter. I would like to invite you to become uncomfortable with uncertainty. I'll just take care of this and then everything will be set. It isn't ever going to happen. There never will be a time when everything is set. Things will continue to come up. You know that's true. Okay? Get comfortable with uncertainty. Let it be a work in progress. When we know exactly where we are and how things are going to be, things can't improve. By defending ourselves against what we think we don't want, we also defend ourselves from what we're wanting. Okay? Let things be uncertain. The analogy I love here is a trip, a river rafting trip. Okay, you wouldn't want to put the raft, you know, just at the bottom of the rapids, 100 feet before the end of the trip, and say, "There, we're at the end, finally." You know, no, I thought you wanted a trip, right? Let it be a trip. And finally, breathe. Every mystical teaching, every martial art, every meditation practice, every relaxation technique stresses breathing. Breathing is an important part of music. Breathing is an important part of sports. Breathing is an important part of being alive. Without breathing, you're dead in 3-4 minutes. Okay? And as we do this, we're back to where we started, you know, being happy, healthy, and allowing. And learn to start allowing rather than doing. Let things happen. Get ourselves out of our own way. There's an old joke that claims successful people are just people who are too dumb to know their ideas will never work. You know, we overthink things instead of letting them flow from our spirit and being. Okay? And then let go. I love the story in Winnie the Pooh, where Pooh and Rabbit are discussing poetry. And Rabbit is very upset. Because Pooh likes to just let the words come to him, while Rabbit prefers to go out and fetch them, so to speak. We are a culture that likes to go out and fetch, and we are, to paraphrase his end story, sitting thirsty on the banks of the river. So what do we do? That's a lot. And what I would like you to do is simply consider all that stuff, okay? Simply consider all that stuff and decide, what are maybe two or three So what are just a few things that you can do from that list just to improve the situation? Progress, not perfection, okay? To do that whole list would be insane. But on that list, okay, you know, there's three or four things I could do that would improve the quality of my physical life, and understanding that improving the quality of your physical life is going to improve your overall vibration. Okay? And as well as to begin to... The bottom line of all today is to look at our physical world not as something that is happening to us, but that's something that is in partnership with us. And by looking at that physical world, we can understand the parts of ourselves that we can't see from behind our eyeballs with our head. And that's all I have to say. So, questions, thoughts? Rebellions. Reflections.
Wow.
I think it really makes sense. I mean, it's kind of hitting home. Those are things that we all know, and it kind of sucks to hear it, like, all at once, like, oh, shit. Like, yeah, there's a lot that I know for me, this is Janine, like, physical exercise is something I really need to find a way to get back in my life. Like, I just need to do it, not even, so thank you. You kind of hit it home with the hammer. It's just kind of settling in. But we do need to take care of our physical beings because it's all we got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that will have a resonance throughout, you know. Looking at it in a different way, you know, we tend to live in our minds, and the... if you look at the threefold manifestation of our souls on the chart that I gave you last week, you know, will is at the highest part of the mind level. Intuition is in the Buddhic plane, higher than that. And intuition, though, when we're not in balance, intuition can easily be confused with fears, which is down in the emotional plane. And what deeds is at the highest level, up in the Atma, the awareness. And what we're talking about here, again, is balance. But we can't have that awareness if we're unaware of what's happening to us in the physical plane. It's, again, we want to think in terms of coherence. Not like escaping a given plane, but making all of these frequencies work together better in greater harmony and greater resonance. So, to recap then, the homework is keep doing what you were doing this week. The big project is those six columns I described earlier. And then just from the physical list, and I'll send it to you, I'm pulling some material I've written previously, so it won't take as long to do a transcript this week as it did last week. So, you know, pick two or three things on that list. You're going, okay, it would be insane to do all this list, but here are the two or three that I'm going to work on, and share that with the rest of us. And so that's the focus this week, is to really focus on the physical plane, the things that we can taste, see, hear, smell, and so forth. Okay? And to get the focus off other people and into what's going on with us. And again, don't do anything about it. Don't beat yourself up over it. Don't do any of those things. Just simply get it down so we have an appreciation of what's going on.
Please put that back right now.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Go team.
Are we going to have t-shirts and helmets? Or?
That's a really good idea.
The helmet or the t-shirt?
Can I make a little suggestion on the exercise piece? Because this was like amazing discovery to me, is that we can do, like for me, I do my yoga practice and it took me forever. I wanted a half an hour. I wanted an hour. I wanted 45 minutes. If you get up and do 5 minutes of yoga, you feel better. Or at least I do.
Yep.
And so sometimes for me, I only get 15 minutes in, but I'm really, then I've kept my commitment of doing it daily. So I want to toss that out there because it was like you think so dumb, right? But it was like huge for me to just be realizing that was maybe enough some days. So,
yeah, that's good. I do the same thing. Yeah, exactly. Good. Yeah. Yeah, progress, not perfection.
I think the T-shirt should be something like, smile, I've been reconnected.
yeah.
Or have you reconnected?
Yeah.
Something.
Connect with me to see how.
Right.
Those are Tim shirts.
I don't want that shirt.
All right. So I think that's a lot. So I think that we'll leave the rest for the Facebook wall and we'll go into group healings.
Okay.
Tim,
thank you.
I
You're
have
welcome.
A question.
Thank you.
Sure.
I have
good
not.
Thanks. Good night.
I have not connected to Facebook.
Bye.
Okay. Well, there's still time.
There's still time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will try to take care of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ready.